Are you in the mood for coffee? She turned to me, rubbing what little perspiration she had from her forehead. Yes, always. I glanced at my drenched sweatshirt and gave up on looking like a pretty girl for a while. Dura Vida in Knightsbridge, por favor. Raven tapped the plexiglass divider, signaling we were ready. I recognized the steel and the blue umbrellas from a block away. This was the newer of the two in London, and even more impressive than the first. I entered after her, hoping to hide myself behind her until I could find a bathroom. Raven went to stand in line, and I excused myself to assess the damage. No makeup I could handle, but sweaty and messy felt inappropriate indoors. I took my hair down to fan out my scalp and then pulled it back again. I toweled off my face after splashing some cold water on it. I checked the mirror and figured the reflection was the best I could hope for. Evelyn, over here. Raven flagged me over to her table with an older man I didn't know standing beside her. Ah, it's so good to see your face again. The tall, solidly built gentleman took my hand in both of his and smiled at me, searching my expression for any recognition. Hi, I'm sorry, but I have some trouble with my memory. I tried to explain, a little annoyed Raven hadn't said who he was or prepared him for me not remembering. Yes, well, I am George Ambrose, Ari's uncle. He inclined his head, indicating he understood my challenges. Once he said it, I could see a slight resemblance to Ari, but his eyes were a soft brown, hooded by heavy brows, and his skin was much darker. His black hair had flecks of gray sprinkled throughout. Oh, yes, Finn mentioned you. This is your place. Well, it's nice to meet you again. He smiled even wider. It is nice to meet you again as well, my dear. I'm sure we will be seeing you. He kissed my hand and then bent to Raven, kissing her on both cheeks before he left us. I got you a large espresso. Raven slid my drink closer to me. Thank you. So were he and Ari close? I turned to watch him move through the crowd, shaking hands. They're family, but that's the only thing that brings them together. Ari's thankful for the help his uncle gave him when he was young, but he isn't really close to many people. Listen, I hope I wasn't so hard before. I know you'll make good choices. She smiled, letting me know we were friends again. No, you were fine. I don't want to hurt anyone, and I agree with you. I'll be careful. Good. Now what do you think of Kirk? She shifted topics, anxious to hear my opinion. He's very handsome. What do you think of him? I silently applauded my diplomacy. Oh, he is fine for now. She winked. We finished our coffees, and I begged her to let me go home and shower before we went anywhere else. It was almost 10 a.m. She decided to return to her house, asking me to call her later if everyone was getting together. She handed me a card as well, Raven Cabrero. I was carrying around all their cards in my already overburdened wallet. After a long shower and a croissant, I considered that I had the day alone with no plans. I left the hotel and hailed a cab to take me to the Thames River. I apparently spent a lot of time walking along it, so I thought it might be helpful to visit again. Edwin, the hotel concierge, suggested starting at Westminster Bridge, walking toward the Tower Bridge. The day had turned predictably bleak with a chilly wind off the river, but stopping at different stalls selling everything imaginable kept my spirits light. I noticed more than a few people who looked displaced and unkempt, and I tried to imagine Raven, Finn, or Bounce among them. Today they look like regular law-abiding citizens, especially Ari. I understood Raven's warning that they were not the norm within their trade, but if I was with them, it seemed logical enough to think I was safe. Lady, would you like to buy a map? A young girl came up to me, fanning folded maps to get my attention. She had a lovely face and less impressive clothes. I didn't notice anyone with her, but surely she was too young to be alone. Well, how much are they? She pointed to one, opening it up fully for me so I could evaluate the merchandise. She didn't answer, so I tried again. Okay, how much for the map? All of a sudden, she threw it down and ran toward the metro with the rest of the maps clenched in her little arms. Something must have scared her off, and I looked around me to understand. Nothing stood out. Still startled, I bent to pick up the discarded map and sat down on a nearby bench. After looking it over, I was content to sit and watch the people go by. A half hour or so had passed when the drizzling began. I considered heading back to the hotel to see if Bounce wanted to get some lunch. I folded my map and put it in my coat pocket, making my way back over to the bridge. A man grabbed me by the upper arm and pulled me out from the foot traffic, forcing me to turn and look at him. It was Ari. His eyes flashed with anger, and I felt the same shocking fear I had that first night. "Would you please learn to hold on to your things?" He took hold of my hand, slapping my wallet and a passport into my palm. "I don't understand." I was alarmed at his sudden appearance and not comprehending the rest. "Did you retain nothing? Come with me." He stalked forward, still holding my arm, and brought me by the tube entrance where the young girl had disappeared down. A swarthy older man, dressed like a tourist, stood waiting, holding his hat in his hands with a somewhat cowed expression. "You see her again, you walk the other way. Do you understand?" Ari spat out the words, pointing at me while he waited for the man's acknowledgement. The man nodded several times without really looking at either of us and turned to leave. Ari stepped forward and gave him some money. I noticed the same little girl smiling up at me from the banister of the metro stairwell. She waved once and was gone like a flash. How did they get my wallet? I hadn't felt anything or seen anyone but the girl. Ari didn't answer as he moved us down the walk. I turned tentatively to look up at him. He was heated, and I sensed I may have inadvertently sealed my fate. He was right. I hadn't retained anything if it was that easy to rob me. With him back, all the worrying about what I was going to do once I learned everything seemed like wasted emotion. It was clear from his expression that I wasn't going to get the chance. We got to where the Mercedes waited, and Derek emerged to open my door, but Ari was faster. He placed me in the back seat, slamming the door, and crossed to the other side to speak with Derek for a moment. I looked down at my hands. Everything was there. The money, all my credit cards, and the business cards everyone had given me were in the front slot with Ari's on top. I glanced back out the window and saw him on the phone with someone while Derek held an umbrella over him, probably making my flight arrangements. I became increasingly annoyed. What exactly had I done to upset him so much? He didn't own London, and he couldn't make me leave. I put my things back in my purse, in the zippered compartment this time, and waited to tell him to go straight to hell. He slid into the back seat without a word. He was drenched and raked his hands through his thick hair, so black it was almost blue from the rain. Derek turned the engine, and we were off to an unknown destination. "Where are we going?" I demanded, brushing my own hair out of my face. "We're going to my house," he replied casually, still looking straight ahead. I was preparing to fight against going to the hotel to pack or straight to the airport as answers, so I had to consider for a minute what going to his house might mean. I came up with nothing. "Why?" I searched his face for a clue as to what was going on in his head. "I need to give you something. When nobody knew where you were today, that didn't work for me." He glanced over in my direction for just a second and then out his window. His black emerald eyes had lost some of their fierceness, and I relaxed into the car seat. "I'm sorry. I didn't think I had to let anyone know. I couldn't recall anything being said about me checking in with people." I gave myself a second to consider that Ari had been worried about me. "Evie, what exactly do you think is happening here? I feel responsible for you now that you're back. Fenton obviously didn't communicate our situation in fine detail." He shifted to look more closely at me. I took in the sound of him saying my nickname for the first time. It felt so familiar that inexplicably tears were forming in my eyes. "What is the situation then?" I asked, trying to hide the effect he was having on me.